This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, in the meantime, in taking a look at some international headlines for you, Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, is going out with a bang. And yesterday, in his last press conference before stepping down in October, he didn't quite make it to Jack Ma levels of a rock star level exit. But Draghi did announce a substantial new stimulus package in a bid to tackle the Eurozone's weakening growth and inflation.
Yeah, so the ECB has reduced the deposit rate to already minus 0.4 to minus 0.5. So it is the first time the ECB has cut rates since March 2016. So money paid to those who actually want to lend money.
No money paid.
No, but you have to pay them.
Yeah, now you have to pay them. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. It doesn't make any sense anymore, right? The global markets.
It's fun.
Financial markets seem to be completely confusing. I mean, why should you pay? Why should you pay somebody to keep your
money?
No, to keep your money.
Yeah.
It's like the world's gone nuts. But anyway, the ECB also announced that it will be restarting quantitative easing, and Draghi is really, you know, going with his whatever it takes moment and extending in. For his last month, right?
Yeah.
So it will buy debt from November 1st at a pace of 20 billion euros or $22 billion for as long as it takes to hit this inflation goal, which they have haven't achieved in the last 10 years. You know, I almost pity the man because I think the problems in Europe are very deep-rooted, and it's also driven by the fact that you're talking about, what, 22 countries getting together and agreeing on an economic policy in a common currency. It's almost virtually impossible.
But apparently they didn't quite agree because there was an unprecedented revolt, what they called it, during the fractious meeting with the Bank of France governor, François Villeroy de Galhau, joining more traditional hawks, including his Dutch colleague, as well as Bundesbank president, in pressing against immediate resumption of bond purchases. So for more on this ECB announcement this morning, we turn to Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst with Oanda. Thank you for joining us this morning, Jeffrey. Now, what do you make of this apparent revolt by some of the ECB governors?
Good morning, everyone. It's very interesting to see where they came from, and it's all Northern Europe. It's Netherlands, France, Germany, the industrial powerhouses of the European Union, plus Austria and also Estonia. So it's quite unprecedented to see such an open disagreement. I feel that there's definitely some worries amongst some European countries about the effectiveness at this stage of the cycle of more quantitative easing. And also there's an entrenched anathema to monetizing debt, so to speak, by countries such as Germany anyway, and that's a deep-rooted cultural thing. I mean, there's a definite divide between North and South in Europe anyway. The North have always thought that the Club Med countries were fiscally reckless, and they created their own problems.
And, you know, how do you think the market is reacting to the ECB stimulus package?
It's very, very interesting, that one. I mean, if you saw Euro last night, it immediately dropped to 109.50 and then immediately went back to 110.50. So it rallied sort of 0.5% overnight, I think, 100 points. So it seems to me that the market was very, very short going into that rate decision, but also that perhaps from here on in, that's about all the easing you can do. I mean, what do? Make the rates more negative. Maybe that's the sum total of the ECB easing. And if that's already reflected in the price, then logically, if the Fed eases next week themselves, then euro could actually rally from here.
And Jeffrey, if we look at what the ECB has done, do you think that factors at all into the Fed's monetary policy decision-making?
Yeah, good question, that one. I don't actually think so, and it's not because they have disdain for the European Union. The US economy is about 8%. The domestic economy is about, I think, 80% of the US total GDP. So it's domestic factors that they're looking at there. They're not so worried about taper tantrums anymore or such like. So they've stubbornly played their own game, much to the disgust of President Trump thus far. And I think they will continue doing that. But they will be noting that basically every other central bank in the world now has has cut rates or are about to. If they do cut next week, I think that's going to set off a huge wave of interest rate cuts and easings by central banks around this region as well.
So, Jeffrey, what do you think will be the impact of prolonged or deepening negative interest rates over there in the Eurozone if this situation continues?
Have we got 2 hours? Yeah, well, you know, to getting on my soapbox here, one of the big drawbacks of quantitative easing has been to increase the gap between rich and poor because asset prices have been pumped up, stock markets, properties. So I think that we can see a huge run-up now in property prices across Europe. So buy that beach house in Spain, I suppose. And we'll see money flocking into asset markets such as stocks, because if a stock's yielding 1.5%, it's going to be a lot better than a bund at minus 5%, 0.5%. So, I mean, the effect of negative rates is to actually encourage people not to save. It's to encourage banks and people themselves to go out and shop and spend money and boost inflation and grow the economy. I have serious doubts as to whether they're going to get much bang for their euro this time around, though.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey. And that was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst with OANDA. Uncertain that there will actually be a significant enough impact off of this move by the ECB to actually bring interest rates into negative territory. And I mean, we have seen this happen in other countries, particularly Japan is a good example of what negative interest rates can really do to an economy over the long term. And they've actually never managed to bring themselves out of that rut.
Sadly, no. So, you know, there is this concern that negative rates are actually bad for an economy in the long term, because if you continue with it, you cannot boost spending. Your own citizens get into this rut whereby they're just so psychologically averse to spending. Mm. Even though they're getting no money for their savings, they rather just literally hide it under the pillow than actually take any money out to spend, because you're just so worried that things just going to get worse. Mm. Now, so I think for Europe, the danger is, yes, maybe you can have this period of negative rates, but if it's prolonged, then you end up being like Japan. And 20 years later, your inflation is still negative. You haven't achieved anything. And in the meantime, you've amassed this huge debt by buying all your own bonds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think this is where the frustration lies, isn't it, with all the ECB precedents and also the upcoming one as well. It's that call for government to start taking action, to start perhaps spending the fiscal stimulus rather than relying everything on ECB. I think they've pretty much, everything at their disposal has run out, really. So, again, I think that's where Lagarde comes in, right? I mean, perhaps that ability to negotiate and to speak with all these leaders within the European states to, consider that move of fiscal stimulus. Mm-hmm.
Maybe because the hope was that she'd be able to leverage her negotiating power with them, because as she herself said, she's not a fairy, she can't make magic, and there's only so much that central banks...
She looks like a fairy, though.
Well, there's only still, I get her point, because there's only so much that central banks can do without the governments actually holding up their end of the bargain, right? BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.